5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Ferrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
And we are back from the bench, Carver Hyde Mafia, in for Scotty on a Tuesday night right here on Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us on Sirius XM at channel 159. Good to be aboard. I have not looked at the hockey yet, Mafia, tonight. And this hour we are going to get into the college football playoff rankings that came out tonight. A couple changes, but they were expected changes. And some comments from the chair, Gary Barta, which bothered me to no end because they involved my Fighting Irish. So we'll talk about that later on this hour. There was a lot of hockey tonight, Mafia. And I'm watching the Kings and the Ducks right now, the freeway battle out in L.A., which is scoreless with just under 6 minutes left to go. Earlier tonight, the Wild beat the Coyotes, so that -385, that comes in for you with Minnesota. Predators whacked the Blue Jackets 6-0. Blues come from behind, beat the Lightning 4-3 in a shootout in St. Louis. The Sharks whacked the Devils tonight in Newark 5-2. Panthers, Mafia, who are 15-4-3. How about this from the Panthers tonight? Down 4-1 going into the third period. They score 4 goals in the third to stun the Capitals 5-4. What a great early story the Florida Panthers have been in the NHL.
Yeah, especially when this is a team that could have easily gotten derailed when, you know, Quenneville was let go because of, or, you know, quote unquote, resigned because of, you know, everything that went on with the Blackhawks years ago. You know, they were in the midst of being one of the best teams in the NHL. And, you know, you have something like that hit you, it could turn you and, you know, send you for a spin there. And it didn't. These team just rallied. They just picked right where they let off. You know, there's a couple of games where they slumped for a little bit, but that's going to happen to any team, whether you have all your pieces or not, because it's just an 82-game season. Things are going to happen. You can't play, you know, perfect for the whole season. There's going to be some slumps. And they had a little spurt there and then have gotten right back into being, you know, one of, if not the best team in the NHL, and show it again tonight with the game where they're down, getting their butts kicked, and turn around in one period and get the win.
We did see a -200 or more home favorite lose tonight. The Bruins did lose to the Red Wings in Boston 2-1. So I've got to update that tomorrow. I've got that tracked somewhere. The records of the -200 or more favorites so far this year in the NHL. Stars lead the Hurricanes right now 4-1, getting close to the end of the third period in Dallas. And I mentioned the freeway series, Ducks and the Kings, going on at Staples Center, which, as we said last night with the Clippers, Mafia, only Staples Center for another couple weeks. What is it, Christmas Day? They become crypto, whatever?
I believe so. Yeah, I think the end of probably right before those Christmas games, so we could have that shoved down our throat for 10,000 times on Christmas, where they just got to keep saying it to remind us all it's no longer Staples Center and make us all shed a tear.
Now, who do the Lakers have this year on Christmas? I just want to see really quick. Ooh, the Nets. Nets-Lakers, Christmas Day, which is an 8 o'clock Eastern at night game. Usually they put the big game at 5:30. Well, the Warriors and the Suns are playing again on Christmas Day, Mafia. I didn't know that. So they're playing tonight, then they're playing on Christmas Day. That's pretty good.
And that's worked out well for the NBA. You know, you never know, especially with a team like the Warriors who are coming off couple, you know, bad seasons. They almost made the playoffs last year, but they have not been the championship caliber team we saw all those years. You know, if this was 3-4 years ago, Warriors, and this year's Suns or last year's Suns, you're like, all right, yeah, automatic. How could you not make that game? That was a little bit of a gamble for them to put that together, and it's paid off in, you know, in spades right now. We'll see how much that ends up working out even more so if these two teams can stay hot throughout the month. But, I mean, if you look at the schedule overall for Christmas Day, it's going to be some great matchups. You know, you have, even though the records aren't awesome for some of these teams, you know, the Hawks, Knicks, you have the heated rivalry that they're, you know, possibly creating after the playoff round last year where Trae Young became a villain in New York. You know, Bucks, Celtics, you know, Celtics are always going to be involved. They're a historic franchise. The Bucks are, you know, defending champs, so you're going to have them. Not a great Celtics team, so that might be a snoozer there in the middle. Warriors, Suns, as you mentioned, at 5. Lakers, Nets. You know, the Lakers are struggling, but still the star power is going to be there. And then Mavs, Jazz to close it out. I mean, those are, you know, a bunch of good games here. What, 5 good games on Christmas Day?
Oh, it certainly is. And actually, the Suns and the Warriors play again on Friday night. So they play back-to-back here. They got a Friday night game as well in Golden State. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates. Pharrell on the bench. Tuesday night, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty right here on Sports Grid Radio. We'll get to the college football playoff ranking later on. They have hit the half, I believe, just about, yes, half, 56-54. Suns lead the Warriors now, -1.5 for Phoenix. They'll play again on Friday night, then they'll play again on Christmas Day. So a lot of Warriors and Suns coming up in the next few weeks. So we'll come back and get into the college football playoff rankings and the great chair, Gary Barta, next. For on the bench, Carver High, Mafia, here with you, Sports Grid Radio. We keep rolling right after this. And we are back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty right here on Sports Grid Radio. We mentioned that they reached the half between the Warriors and the Suns, but there is other news, Mafia, in this game. It's 56-54. Suns have a 2-point lead, but they're going to have some injury concerns in the second half as they're going to be missing one of their big guns. What do we got?
Yeah, apparently Booker is going to be out the rest of the game. He will not play again. He has a hamstring soreness, so I guess a little precautionary. They're going to keep him out and not rush him back in there and, you know, risk him pulling or straining or ripping something. So he'll be out the rest of this highly publicized, televised, and so far popularized matchup.
Yeah, and you know what? You said it right there. It's popularized. It's a huge matchup, hyped up, whatever. But the one thing we do have to remember is it's November 30th.
Right.
You know, like, it's like, yeah, it's Warriors Suns. They've been the two best teams this year. Suns have a 16-game winning streak. The Warriors are 18-2, whatever it is. Like, it's awesome, but it's not the Western Conference Finals. Like, there's absolutely no reason to push guys at this part of the season. So, even the slightest thing like that for Booker, I don't care who they're playing tonight. I think they're doing the right thing. Get him out of the game and be done with it.
Yeah, there's no point risking him being down for a month or 2 months or whatever, you know, possibly ripping something and being out the rest of the season for a game that is just worth one win. You know, it's not a, like you said, not a playoff game, not worth it.
Not worth it at all. Elsewhere, NBA, quickly, I will tell you that the Lakers now down 59-50 at halftime in Sacramento, -7.5 for the Kings. And the Blazers at the half, 54-45. They lead the Pistons right now. That one going to the half as well. Duke now 57-50, Mafia. Almost halfway through the second half. Ohio State's closing the gap a little bit here. Live line 7.5. Down 7. Ohio State making a little run at home here. Maybe we're going to get a nice close tight ball game here down the stretch in the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
I think we will. You know, as I talked about before, I think Ohio State's, you know, a veteran, smart team that's just figuring out exactly how to gel and play with each other because they've had some injuries and guys, you know, getting in slowly with transfer and figuring out minutes and those kind of things early in this season. But, you know, they have a lot of guys on that team who have been around the block, whether it be with Ohio State or with other teams in other conferences, and they know how to play. You know, they're not scared by Duke across someone's jersey. They know that, hey, listen, it's just another team, and it's another basketball game, and we can win. We're just as good.
So that's the college basketball story right now. Let's get into the college football playoff rankings, Mafia. The great committee with Gary Barta, the chair, put them out tonight. Really no surprises. This is how I thought it was going to go. Georgia stays at 1. Michigan hops up to number 2. Alabama now in the 3 hole, which is where they were a week ago, and Cincinnati doesn't move either. They stay at number 4. Oklahoma State hops up to number 5, and Notre Dame stays at 6. I'm going to forget about everybody else. Who cares? These are the 6 teams, Mafia, that still have, whether it's a slither of hope or a big chance to win the national title, that's down to these 6 on who's going to be in the playoff. I mean, I'm not surprised at all at the top 4. I'm not really surprised at the 5 and the 6 either, Moff. I think that Oklahoma State, off of the wins that they've had the past couple of weeks, probably does deserve to be ahead of Notre Dame at this point with the way that they've played as we head into conference championship weekend. But what bothered me the most tonight, Mafia, is when Gary Barta, who's the chairperson of the great college football playoff committee, sat there afterwards and he does his little interview with Herbie and Reese and all the guys there on ESPN. They asked him about Notre Dame, and they asked him about Brian Kelly leaving town and heading to LSU. And Barta said, and I think he made a mistake saying this, I think he should have kept this under wraps, because Notre Dame, you probably, even if one of these teams loses, you're going to have a case to put one of them in over Notre Dame either way. But he made it really bad by saying, well, yeah, that is something we're going to consider, that Kelly left them, and that's going to be a factor when we, if we have to make a decision on Notre Dame and somebody else. And I think that that's wrong, Mafia. So the kids already get screwed because this guy stabs him in the back and goes to LSU after he goes into the 2-minute meeting this morning, the whole deal. And now Barta tells you, yeah, well, you know what? If a couple teams do lose and there's a decision to be made, we're going to factor in that Kelly's not going to be the coach. That's just so unfair to the kids. It's unfair.
Yeah, it's absolutely unfair, and I feel like it's unprofessional for him to say. I think it was a stupid thing for him to say and admit. Whether or not you believe that, you know, obviously they're going to be thinking that, you know, that's going to happen, but it should be one of those things, like we've seen them say about, you know, the you know, Cincinnati's, about these other teams, where there's things you know, but they will not admit. And that's what he should have done here. I think that was completely unprofessional and stupid to admit, because it's one thing if your quarterback just went down, or, you know, your top running back. There's some kind of huge impact player for this team that went down. You could say that factors in because you don't know if they're going to play the same way. Yes, Kelly not being there to possibly coach that game, they might not play the same way, they might not make all the same exact decisions, but for the most part, the system's in place, the players are there, the playbook's there. You're not changing everything before a potential playoff game. To go out and say that this is something that's in your mind and that could screw these kids over is just terrible, and it's stupid, and it shows where their priorities lie. And you know what it shows? You know, you and I were talking about this off there before coast to coast. It's just, I'm amazed that with all the money wrapped up in this playoff, that the NCAA doesn't have some kind of moratorium on teams signing new coaches and stealing coaches away before these teams are in possible playoff things. It's one thing when you have Oklahoma and they lose Lincoln Riley because they weren't making the playoff after that loss. It's, you know, it's one thing if you know Louisiana loses their coach to Florida because they're not making a major bowl game. You know, whatever bowl game they're making is not going to be a playoff game. But that Notre Dame still has playoff aspirations, and LSU hires their coach away, you know, it just completely puts them at risk, as we now see, as they now admit, screws up the system, And with all the money that's wrapped up in this, I can't believe that they let this happen, because it's just ridiculous that you're pulling away coaches before these games. It's bad enough when it's some whatever bowl game, but when it's going to be a major New Year's Six, at the very least, you got to sit back and say, hey, listen, how about you wait? Just like the NFL does. You know, you can talk to these coaches, but you can't hire them until they're out of the playoffs.
Listen, there's no reason why. I mean, this guy, I get he was going to leave. They're all the same. They're all liars. He couldn't stick around until Sunday to see if they got in the playoff or not. Like, and I get it. At that point, his hands are tied. Let's say the chaos theory for Notre Dame does happen on Saturday, and Oklahoma State and Alabama and Cincinnati, you know, somehow all of them lose, or two out of three of them lose, whatever the deal is, and they put him in, and Kelly's probably looks even worse. You know, if he's got to go and basically leave him, and like, because LSU's, you know, looking at him going, you know, take it or leave it. You know, they don't really care about Notre Dame making the playoff or not. They want to start getting on the recruiting trail. That's all that matters to them. But this bothers me a lot, that guy said that tonight, that it factors in to it. It's the same as it always is with these guys. Total nonsense, college athletics. It never, ever ends. And you're seeing more greed of it than ever in the past few days. And yeah. Notre Dame's going to be no better than anybody else when they go and steal Fickell, Mafia. They're going to be no better. I mean, no better when they go take Luke Fickell from Cincinnati.
Right, that's what they did with Brian Kelly in the first place. Sold him from Cincinnati, you know, right before a bowl game. He didn't coach the game, left his kids high and dry. So this is par for the course. I mean, it's not just him. We can't be like, oh, well, this guy just does this all the time, and he's a terrible dude. Like, every coach does this, because that's the way the system works with this recruiting and stuff. They got to put some kind of rules in place to make this doesn't happen, because it's not fair to the kids.
It certainly is not. So this weekend, everybody at the top there is going to be playing in a game except Notre Dame. And that's something that's going to factor in.
Join the ACC.
That's right. Frill on the bench. Join the ACC. No, they're fine. Don't need a conference. Frill on the bench. We keep rolling on the grid right after this. And we are back for On the Bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty here tonight on Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us. Talk a little college football playoff rankings, conference championship games this week. A lot to be decided as we have our four going into the final weekend. Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, and Cincinnati. Will that be the four on Sunday? I say no. Because of how crazy this season has been, Mafia. I do not think that will be the four on Sunday when we find out who plays in the semis.
Who do you think drops out then?
I think that Georgia is going to beat Alabama. And I think that that's going to get Oklahoma State in. I think that that's what it's going to be. I don't think that the committee is going to want to put a two-loss team in like Alabama when there's deserving one-loss teams like Oklahoma State and Notre Dame. I don't think they want to set the precedent because they've never put a two-loss team in. I don't think they would do it.
See, that's going to be my little devil's advocate question for you here, because we've talked all year about Alabama after the loss to Texas A&M. You know, people saying like, well, if they still have a close loss to Georgia in the title game, then you know they'll still let them in. And I was sitting there after this game this weekend where you almost lose to Auburn. You barely beat them in four overtimes against a team that's a 500 team with a backup quarterback in there. You should have lost the game if the kid doesn't make a bonehead play at the end. And to me, that, you know, should have knocked them, maybe not knocked them down and out, because yeah, Cincinnati had a big win, but again, it's, you know, a lesser opponent. Of course, they're going to give them negative points for that. But you know, to me, even if you lose to Georgia now tight, you're out. Not even necessarily just about the two losses, but you had a game here where you could have solidified that you are, you know, the second, that you are worthy of it, even if you lose a tight game to Georgia, and you barely got by a mediocre team without their starting quarterback. To me, that, you know, was the final nail, that no more chance. If you lose to Georgia, you're still in for Alabama. So now you, as the Notre Dame fan, if Alabama goes down to Georgia in the title game like we, you know, expect them to, and let's say Oklahoma State trips up against Baylor, because Baylor is a good team. You know, they're not gonna, you're not gonna put Baylor in from nine all the way in there.
Very good.
Does your Irish team make it in then?
I mean, 5 hours ago I thought they did. Until I heard Gary Barta tonight say,
"Now their chances went on the plate in the Baton Rouge."
Brian Kelly, I think before I heard that guy talk tonight, I did think that. I mean, that scenario you just said, Alabama and Oklahoma State losing, I thought that's 100% Notre Dame would be in the playoff if both of those things happened. I think that it would then be Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, and Notre Dame. I no doubt. But after listening to that guy tonight, I'm not so sure. It sounds like they're going to penalize the students on the team and the university for the coach, you know, sticking the knife in their back. So that's going to be there. They're going to punish the school for that and the kids. More the kids. I don't care about the school because they're crooks too. The kids are more, you know, it's just not fair to them. They're all crooks, Mafia. It doesn't matter. The ADs, the presidents, the coaches, they're all crooks. The kids, it sucks for them because they went 11-1 this year on their own merit. And now some goon in a suit who's the athletic director at Iowa and is the commissioner of this chair, the chairperson, is going to say, well, you know, they don't have their coach anymore, so all those wins that they had this year, they don't mean as much. I mean, come on. That's just such nonsense. It bothers the hell out of me, Mafia. I'm not going to lie. It bothers me.
As it should. You know, like we said, like I was saying before, you can think that, but you should never speak that, because that just proves the crookedness of the system. That's the way you're doing it. So then if, you know, if both those teams lose, does Alabama stay in there if they don't like Notre Dame without Kelly? Does Baylor somehow jump up as the two-loss team because they're a conference
that
champion?
That will really drive people wild. That will drive people wild. If they put the two-loss Alabama team in over the one-loss Notre Dame team in because they don't have Brian Kelly anymore, people will go nuts. I mean, that it's just, man. But I could see them doing it because they're, like always, they're crooks.
And Notre Dame hasn't had a good showing in the playoffs either.
Right, but that shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't,
that,
of course.
It's about this year's team. But I know it doesn't. I'm not naive. I understand how all this stuff factors in. But they even when Notre Dame gets hammered in these games, Mafia, they don't care because having them there is enough. Just having them in the game is enough for them. These games are blowouts every single year. I do this spiel every year when the college football playoff semis come around. All the games suck. Go look at them. Over the first 7-8 years of this thing, all of the semifinal games, aside from, I think I counted them out for Lisi the other day on College Football Full Circle, there's like 4 or 5 games that are actually good. The rest of them are all blowouts. So they don't care that there's blowouts.
Right.
They care that the brands are there and they're able to sell the tickets and get the eyeballs on the television. That's all that matters to them.
That is all that matters to them. And we've said it year after year, and they have acted like it's not. And that's, you know, what's even more surprising about the comments by Barta tonight is that, like you said, that's, you know, a bread and butter, like, you know, original six kind of, you know, college football dynasty. This is, you know, there's Notre Dame fans all around the country, and not just from people who went to Notre Dame. There are people who never stepped foot on that campus, like yourself, that still love that team and, you know, bleed that green just because of, you know, how big they are and how popular, you know, on NBC all these years. And still for them to come out and say, yeah, I don't know, we might not take him, it was mind-blowing, because you figured that would be one of the programs they do anything they can to get in.
And let me tell you, Maff, and I'm not kidding around here, I'm not this situation with Barta saying this tonight, I'd be saying the same thing no matter who this was about. I know that it sounds a little bit more, you know, I'm upset about it because Notre Dame is the team that could potentially be penalized by this, but if Oklahoma was in Notre Dame shoes and Riley did this, and Barta sat up there and said that, I'd say the same thing about the players for Oklahoma. It would be unfair for them as well. Any team that would be in this situation where their coach stabs them in the back and leaves for the bag, which is not, this is not new stuff. This is college athletics for a billion years. But the kids shouldn't take the brunt of it for that. And I would say the same thing if it was any other school besides Notre Dame. I'd say the same thing.
Right. And you know what? You wouldn't even have that conversation if it was some of these other schools. You know, if it was Ole Miss or Baylor, you know, that wouldn't even be part of it. They're not even going to talk about, oh, well, the coach leaving affects it, because they're like, yeah, school doesn't matter anyway. We wouldn't want them. Notre Dame, you figured they'd be doing anything they can to get that brand in there, even without Kelly. And it's nothing new for college football. nothing new for Kelly. And, you know, it's, again, you know, the shock of them actually admitting it, because, listen, when have we ever seen this happen? You know, not that it has happened yet, but you've had plenty of other games, bowl games, even bigger bowl games, where a coach leaves or a coach is retiring or is fired, you know, because the season isn't what they, and they have never said, oh, well, you know what? Now we got to take that team out because it's just not worth it. Or you have high-profile players that just sit out the game because they're getting ready for the NFL draft and it's not worth it to play in a non-New Year's Six bowl for them. You know, you have this happen all the time, especially the last 4 or 5 years, and there has never been a team that they said, well, this guy's not going to be there, so we're not going to put them in that bowl game, or we're going to pull them out of the bowl game that we already put them in because of this and put someone else in. But this guy basically admitted, hey, we're going to do this with this team. We're going to screw this team over because their coach hightailed it out, and apparently he's the only reason they win.
And I think there is, and there was a lot of conspiracy theorists, Notre Dame fans tonight on social media and Twitter saying that, you know, the committee, they'll do anything possible to not have Notre Dame in it again, kind of for what you were saying. But a lot of people are tired of seeing Notre Dame in. Now, they've absolutely deserved to be in these last couple of years that they have been. Whether you like it or not, they've deserved to be there. Now, did they get whacked by Alabama and Clemson? Yeah, they did. But guess what? Everybody does. Everybody the past 5 years has lost to those two teams. Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State have been the standard for the last 5 years in college football. And any team that you've lined up against them, and that includes the Oklahomas and even Georgia when they got it, they lose to them. So, yeah, I get it. Nobody wants Notre Dame in. They always get beat up, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they deserve to be there. And they would, and the same thing would happen to anybody that you would have put in their place. Nobody has beaten Alabama or Clemson these last 5 years in this thing, Mafia. Nobody.
Well, I'll give you the conspiracy that's the reason, right? It's not because, you know, of their playoff failures. It's because of their independence. Let's be honest. This committee is made up of athletic directors and conference commissioners. So where does that money from those bowls go? It goes to the conference, and the conference dishes it out to the schools. Where does that money go if Notre Dame makes it? It's not going to the ACC, who they're part-time members with. It's going to Notre Dame. So all these other schools, you know, these conferences that have been pushing for these non-independents, that they want them to be part of a conference so that everyone else makes money off them, like Notre Dame, and they said, nope, we don't need you. They don't want them to make that money because they make it all. They want their cut of it, and it doesn't come if they put Notre Dame in it.
But they like the fact that Notre Dame does bring a lot of people there, though. They don't mind that aspect of it. They don't mind because Notre Dame brings two things. They bring the fan base that they have, and they bring the people that absolutely hate them because everybody hates them. So you get both sides of the coin when you have Notre Dame in the mix. All right. For On the Bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty here tonight on Sports Grid Radio. We will come back, take another look at what's going on, NBA, college hoops, NHL, a lot to do. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. We keep rolling on the grid right after this. And we are back for On the Bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty right here on Sports Grid Radio. And just to finish this up with the college football playoff, Mafia, do you feel any of these teams are going to lose this weekend? Like, I think that Michigan will take care of business. I saw some stat either yesterday or today that outright favorite has lost one of these conference championship games in the Power Five in like 5 years or 6 years or something like that. Like, the team that's favored usually wins the football game and moves on. And with Michigan and with Oklahoma State, Georgia, I expect the same. And I think the last outright upset was Alabama in like 2009 or something like that. So this is a tough hill for Alabama to climb on Saturday against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, you know, I feel like all the favorites are going to win it in those ones because, you know, in the case of Georgia and Oklahoma State, their defense is just too good for the other team to really get through. Baylor's had some bad losses here this year, some surprising ones. I just don't think that they are a good enough team to to solve that Oklahoma State defense right now. That's been the big thing. You know, when you have a team that's just predicated on offense, you play good defense, they can shut them down, and you know, then you have issues. But both those teams start with defense first, and then they put up points from there. And you know, they don't always necessarily need to put up points when you're Georgia and you're, you know, shutting everybody down to 13 or less for most of the season. You barely need to put up any points. So I think that the defense is too good in those games for their opponents to break through, because this isn't the same Alabama. This isn't the high-flying, you know, high-scoring Alabama we've seen at times in a couple previous years. Despite Bryce Young being up for the Heisman, it has been struggling at times. And I think that Georgia's defense is just too good, even if it was a high-flying offense. They just, this isn't going to be a year Alabama solves them, I don't think, like they do every other year. And then in the Big Ten, I just think that Michigan is a force that we haven't seen from that team in a long time. And Iowa has had some, you know, some weak losses at times here. You had the back-to-back Purdue and Wisconsin losses, two teams that aren't even really that good. You know, Purdue is a team that had some nice upsets but had a lot of bad losses. Wisconsin is a team that has a terrible quarterback. They got a good defense, but they have not had a good quarterback with Mertz there. And they just smoked them as well. So I don't think that Iowa is a great team either, and definitely not the team to stop Michigan, who just seems to be, you know, on a mission this year to finally get Harbaugh in that playoff that we've been missing for so long.
Yeah, this is it. He's finally got to this step. He's got one more step to go. And it's funny because this is the year where it was like, well, this is his last chance. You know, we're going to buy him out. Let's get Harbaugh out of Michigan. And sure enough, he cashes in on his quote-unquote last chance. And listen, he was a quarter away from being undefeated. I mean, they melted down in that game against Michigan State at the end of it, or else maybe they'd be undefeated right now going into this thing. But I think Michigan Mafia, see, here's the thing with Michigan. I think that they have the type of play at the line of scrimmage that could really give Georgia a game. And on both sides, on their defensive line and their offensive line, being able to block a little bit for Hassan and make some things happen. I think Georgia-Michigan would be a very intriguing game, because I want to see Georgia their offense have to do something and have to win them a game, because it's been kind of sunshine and rainbows for them all year. The defense has been so dominating that they haven't had to go and win them a football game. And we'll see if Alabama finally gives them an opportunity to do that this week. But I would love to see that Georgia-Michigan matchup just for that, because I think Michigan could actually beat them at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and that's been a key, you know, especially when you play a Georgia team that is such a ferocious front, that you have to give your quarterback time. You have to give your running back time to find the holes, because, you know, otherwise they just throw it up there and then those secondary players are going to pick it off and they're going to run the other way with it. You know, it's all about the pass rush for them. If you can control that, that is huge. And the running game for Georgia, you know, if they have to get and on the arm of their quarterbacks, if he can't use the running game to create the passing game, I think that's where they struggle. That's where they're going to have an issue. So I think that the balance of Michigan on the lines on both sides, and also their offense is more balanced. You have, you know, you talk about Hassan Haskins, but Blake Corum's, you know, got almost 900 yards himself. So they have two different, you know, running backs they can go to who are averaging big yards on every play and tons of touchdowns. And then that takes the pressure off their quarterback. Because that's been the big thing with Harbaugh. His whole tenure at Michigan is he needs a quarterback. He needs a quarterback. He needs a quarterback. Now, is Cade McNamara the greatest quarterback? No. The guy only had 2,300 yards. But the big thing is that he's not having it on his shoulders. You have the running game doing so much that he's able to play, you know, the one that everybody hates, the word you throw out there, caretaker, game manager, whichever phrase you want to use, and keep the turnovers down. He's not going to be the one to carry you to the promised land on his shoulder, but with that running game and that offensive line, you are able to not put that much pressure on him and put him in favorable positions where he doesn't have to turn the ball over.
No doubt about it. Would be a fascinating game if we can get to that point, but Michigan has to finish the job against Iowa this week. Georgia's going to be in no matter what. They can lose to Alabama. Honestly, I don't even care what the score is. They lose to Alabama, they're still going to make it. What do you got, Mav?
Speaking of college, you're right. Uh-oh. That 2.5-point spread was a very, very bad line, because Ohio State not only covered it, they won the game.
Wow, are you kidding me? I was just,
Ohio State just beat Duke 71-66.
And they were down what? I want to go back and see. What was the most they were down at the half. Now at the half, they were down 7 or 8, maybe even 10. Let me get up the box here for Duke and Ohio State.
Yeah, they were down 6 or 7 a lot of the second half.
Well, no, they were down 13 at the half. So it was 43-30 at the end of the first half, Duke, Ohio State. Ohio State outscores them 41-23 in the second half. I want to see what the lead was. We checked in on it about the 10-minute mark, and it was a 7-point game, 57-50. Little run here for Ohio State. When did they actually take the lead? Wow. How about that?
Took the lead with a minute and 3 seconds left. Ohio State. Just a little over a minute.
So Duke didn't score. Let me see if I can get this right here. I mean, they look like they had... They were on 66 for the last 4 minutes and 29 seconds. They didn't score a point. Keels made a free throw at 4:29 to make it 66-59, and they didn't score again. They ran out of gas, Moff. Ran out of gas.
It's, you know, great defensive performance by a veteran team. You know when you get into these situations, you got to lock down. You want to come back, you got to play on both ends, and Ohio State did that. Just a very smart, veteran-laden team that comes back and has a big game. You know, Liddell was 14, 20 points from key. You know, the two forwards were the big difference for them as, you know, everyone else kind of has, you know, 7, 8, they're chipping in. Russell off the bench had 12, but the big difference was the big men in Liddell and Key down low. You know, 3 blocks by Liddell as well, doing a great job on the defensive end. You have not many steals and not a ton of turnovers for, you know, Duke. So it was just the poise on the defensive end and the shooting of Ohio State that comes out in the key situation to put up the points. Great job by them. Give those boys a number next to their name. Come on, give them that respect.
Yeah, they're going to get it now after beating number one Duke. So Duke beats Gonzaga, then loses to Ohio State. The line said Buckeye all day. I mean, it just did. I was staring at that 2.5 all day. I'm going, this just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't. Buckeyes are going to give them a game tonight. And sure enough, they come back second half, down 13, and they make it happen. Duke doesn't score the last 4.5 minutes of the game. And sure enough, they take care of business. NBA now, they're going to the fourth quarter in Phoenix, Mafia, 80-78. The Suns lead the Warriors, -2.5 on the live line, 213.5 is the live total. No Booker here for the Suns in the second half, but so far, Mafia, looks like no problem. But as we get to the fourth, it's usually Steph Curry time in the fourth quarter for Golden State.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with him. You know, he had 8 points early in that game. We're talking about Poole lighting it up, and maybe if the points total drops for Curry, it's, you know, and for Booker, it's something to get involved in, but then Booker goes out. Curry's only scored 3 points since. He's not having a good shooting night. 3-12 from 3, 4-19 from the field. Only 11 points, a -13 right now for Steph Curry. Not a number, you know, you rarely see that dash next to his number, let alone double digits here. So not a good game for him, but they're hanging in there. We'll see if he can get it going in the fourth quarter like he, you know, does so often. It doesn't matter how he's shooting throughout the game. He's never going to stop shooting, and at some point that switch has to flip. And, you know, who says that? Back to the basket, back you down, dunk in your face. Big men aren't relevant in the NBA anymore because your boy Ayton's the one leading the way for the Suns with 16 points right now.
Well, somebody's got to carry the mail with Booker being down. So, listen, you go down low where the Warriors aren't as strong. I mean, that's a good spot if you want to try to go against a weakness. It's down low for the Golden State Warriors. Lakers now up 9 on the Kings. So the Kings had a big lead on the Lakers in the first half. They have let that completely slip away. Now the Lakers -5.5 on the live line. No LeBron tonight. He's in the COVID protocol. A couple hours before the game, that was announced. We'll see how long he's out for. Bad job by me with the Pistons tonight. Now they have a quarter to at least try to maybe cover this number, but they're down 18 in Portland against the Blazers, who played in Utah last night. Figured maybe we could catch them here on the second night of a back-to-back. That is not going to happen, Mafia, but maybe the Pistons +17.5 live. Maybe we get ourselves a little run here in the fourth, get some backups in for the Blazers.
Well, speaking of the next game in the back-to-back, you know, for that Lakers team, Anthony Davis is showing up with LeBron out, 23 points for him, so you know what that means. He's going to have to sit the next game and be hurt.
Right.
Every time he plays well, the next game he's out hurt.
There's only so much AD could do. I mean, And LeBron, as we mentioned this at the top of the show, he's gotten into no rhythm this year because he plays a couple games, out for a week or two with an injury, plays a couple games, out for a week or two with an injury. You just can't get any consistency with LeBron in the lineup, in and out, in and out. Now, they do play the Clippers on Friday night, Mafia. We got a little Clippers-Lakers and then Celtics-Lakers next week on Tuesday. So those are the next – they actually don't play a lot of games here in the next week. They play Friday and they play Tuesday. So they have themselves a lighter part of the schedule here with LeBron out.
And, you know, he just had that big game on Sunday against the Pistons, the first game with them after the suspension, has a big game, and then, oh, he's out, and it's not even injury this time, it's COVID, it's health reasons, but not what you would expect. And, you know, this game on Friday, the last game, Clippers-Lakers at the Staples Center.
That's true. Yes. Well, it's been called that until they finally change the name over. That's for sure. And as far as hockey goes, I did just see the Ducks get on the board against the Kings at, as you were mentioning, Staples Center. Kings now plus 200 on the money line, down a goal. Ducks have played well this year. I give them a lot of credit. Live total 3.5 right now between the Ducks and the Kings. Some good games in hockey tomorrow night, including Crosby versus McDavid in Edmonton tomorrow night. Very spicy indeed. All right, Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty here on Sports Grid Radio. We will come back and we will wrap this puppy up. We keep rolling on the grid right after this. And we are back. Phil on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty here on Sports Grid Radio. He's on vacation all week long. So Duke, number one Duke, loses at Ohio State 71-66. Elsewhere, college hoops, big ACC Big Ten Challenge. Syracuse, 2 overtimes over Indiana, 112-110. Minnesota beat Pittsburgh by a point. Purdue whacked Florida State. Wake Forest beat Northwestern in overtime, 77-73. Rutgers beat Clemson by 10, 74-64. NBA, the Blazers now up 90-64 on the Pistons, Mafia. The Lakers now really laying it on, 92-76 in Sacramento. And a good one in the fourth quarter, 82-81. Suns lead the Warriors. Just about 9 minutes left to play there, Maf. We do have a game 1-1 as the Kings, who were plus 200.
Kings and Ducks, all knotted up.
They score during the break, so there you go. You got to have fast fingers. Get on it quick. Kings of the home team could have got them live plus 200. Now they even it up. All right, Mafia, I will see you tomorrow. We've got Coast to Coast, of course, at 4 o'clock. We'll be back on the bench at 10 p.m. East. Carver High, Mafia, in for Scotty, Sports Grid Radio. Tomorrow we have more NBA, more NHL, more college hoops. So a lot more of the same tomorrow night. Mafia, great stuff. I will see you then. Have a good night, everybody. Cash some tickets.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Switching between tools for one project gets disjointed, especially on tight deadlines. Grammarly built a game-changing writing surface tailor-made for professionals to help you move ideas forward and sharpen your writing. You can brainstorm ideas, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or strengthen a proposal without context switching. Easy to get started and even easier to finish. Sign up for Grammarly free and get your professional writing from draft to done. Visit Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com. Switching between different tools to finish a project can feel stressful and disjointed, especially while juggling tight deadlines in a fast-paced work environment. Now, there's a better way. Grammarly built a writing service that's a game changer for professionals. It helps move your ideas forward and sharpen your words for better results, all in one place. With Grammarly's AI agents, you get writing support at every step to bring polish and impact to your emails, reports, and proposals without the tab overload. Email sounds robotic? Phrasing feels off? Writing for a high-stakes client? Grammarly's got you covered. You can even ask Grammarly's AI chat to help brainstorm brilliant proposals, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or even shape a winning sales strategy, all right from your doc. 93% of professionals say that Grammarly helps them get more done. Now, it's your turn. Sign up for free and get stronger results. Faster work, smarter sentences, clearer finishes. Visit Grammarly.com to get started. That's Grammarly.com.